Also, before we start the episode, I wanted to give you guys, our audio listeners, a very exclusive message to you guys to let you know that we, Hoot and a Half, Mike and I, are planning to put out a Hoot and a Half Patreon, where we are going to be uploading exclusive audio episodes for you guys to listen to.
Yes, it's not available just yet. We're still putting the works in, but we want to make it very cool. We also want to just say thank you for our audio listeners for being audio listeners. This is where we started the podcast back in early 2020, before all that terrible stuff happened. We've been cruising through the audio. You guys have been so supportive. All the reviews, all the comments, all the DMs, it's so great. So just wanted to say thank you to our audio audience, which is you, the listener, right now. So yeah, we'll be in touch in the next week or two with some news for how you can sign up for that. We'll have exclusive episodes, uncut, ad-free, etc. So we're very excited, and we're working on a lot of cool things. And just wanted to say thanks and enjoy this episode of Hoot and a Half.
Enjoy.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
But I was like,
do you want to keep talking about it?
No. Oh, no, no, no.
I downloaded this app, Opal, O-P-A-L.
Opal?
Yeah.
Wait, is Opal or Opal?
I don't know.
Do you know?
Opal sounds like O-P-L-E.
I thought an opal is like a gem.
It is.
Like
it
a
is.
Ruby. It's a, I think it's opal.
Opal?
Or opal.
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 Opal. I don't know.
What does this app do?
I'm getting...
And this is not an ad for anyone who's listening. No.
This is not an ad. I have gotten ads on Instagram for this, but Emil said this on Trillionaire Mindset too. You know, like when you set your iPhone to give you the time limits and it's like, okay, ignore for 1 minute or ignore... It's one button... And then your time limit's over. It doesn't actually stop you from using the apps.
Okay.
This thing somehow like taps into your phone system and will lock you out of certain apps. And the only way to get unlocked is you have to go into the Opal app, open that, and then I want to take a break. And then it will give you however long you want the break to be. So it's like 2-3 steps longer, but it works so much better. So you download this app and it tells you like... And we were talking about this before. Like it was like, yeah. How many hours are you on your phone? And I typed in how many hours I'm on my phone per day. And it says, at this rate, you will look at your phone for 40 years of your life. So I was like, okay, that's fucked. So I put it on for like Instagram, TikTok.
Who cares? Who cares if I'm on my phone for 40 years of my life? Yeah, it's my business. It's how I make money. Do you think like guys who are Wall Street traders are like, oh, you spent this many years of your life looking at... graphs. Of course. That's how they made their money. What if you're a surgeon? Oh, you spent 40 years of your life looking at guts, human insides. That's how they make their money.
So you don't feel any remorse about your screen time?
Sometimes. I think sometimes I'm like, if I'm getting on here, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for ideas or something to motivate me to do it. I'm not there to be like thoroughly entertained.
How much time do you spend on TikTok, you think, in a day?
Ugh, too much. Too much. I agree. Like TikTok, I'll be like, time will go by way too fast on TikTok.
What is the most amount of hours in a day you think you've been on TikTok?
The most?
Yeah.
Probably on travel days. If I'm traveling, like when you're
6 hours?
In Ubers, going to the airport, waiting at airports, being on an airplane, TikTok is the one thing that makes it go by so fast, which I love.
Interesting.
A day, the most boring, annoying days.
Yeah.
I'll spend 8-9 hours like it's my job on TikTok. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I've been trying to really look at my feed, like my FYP, and perfecting it, like making sure all the content. Because like I realized what are my junk topics I'm getting sucked into.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I've been getting a lot of celebrity gossip, and I need to be like, I don't give a fuck
right
about this celebrity and who they're dating or whatever. But I get sucked in those, and I've been like, no, not interested.
Yeah,
I try to lean more on like interior design and like art and furniture, fun facts, history, and fitness, recipes, productivity hacks with a little sprinkled in with a little bit of humor.
Are you actually, do you think that you're actually absorbing any of the content?
Yeah.
Like your brain is like, oh, I'm going to implement that.
I've heard about that. Carly mentioned one time she saw something where it was like, after you were on a whole binge, like, okay, well then...
That's what I said.
Say three things that you learned.
Or tell me the TikTok that you watched five TikToks ago. Couldn't tell you. Tell me the TikTok you watched two TikToks ago. Your brain just doesn't fucking know what's going on.
Of course, it's the human brain.
I know,
but then again, I do feel like, for some people, it's like really, really bad.
Yeah.
I think that is important. But also, what do you mean, Mike? You're my manager. You're blocking off Instagram and TikTok.
During the workday.
Yeah, but what if there's... Okay, yeah.
Like, from 9 to 5, instead of picking up my phone to look at Instagram in between meetings, I should just be... not letting my brain, like, it's okay to let your brain be bored for 2 minutes at a time.
I didn't realize you had such a problem.
I don't have a problem. I just realized, like, I also, Instagram, I use a lot for, like, DMs, for messaging people. And so a lot of the reason I open up Instagram is to just see if I have new messages, because I don't have any notifications on. So I just want to see if, like, someone's messaging me, and I have a lot of conversations with friends that way. But what I'll just do is look at it on the desktop, like on my computer. But also just like, yeah, if I'm taking a quick lunch break, my instinct is to open up Instagram or open up TikTok when I'm making a sandwich or whatever. And it's like, I'd rather open up Audible and listen to an audiobook.
Which I do all the time. I'm listening to audiobooks all throughout my day.
Are you listening to fiction?
Yeah.
Do you have trouble following the story when you're like just popping in and out of a fiction story? Like, wait, where are we? What scene is this?
Who's Gretchen? Yeah, I love plots.
I haven't tried a fiction audiobook yet. I'm scared to, because I'm just like, I feel like I'm going to have, every time I open this, I'm going to need to be like,
no.
Where are we? What's the scene? Who are the characters? Like,
well, I don't know. I also try to like pick books where it's more about the experience of the book than like the whole plot.
Do you have a good audiobook recommendation for me? Like an Audible one that's read really well? I was talking to someone today who said the new Brett Easton Ellis book.
Oh, The Secret History by Donna Tartt.
Yeah.
I like that audiobook, though I read and listened to it. Verity's pretty good, but Verity's like smut.
Donna Tartt, that's
a good one.
Okay.
That'll be my next. I'm listening to Brett Easton Ellis's The Shards.
I was just talking to a friend today who recommended that book to me.
She already finished The Shards?
It's the girl. Remember that girl that visited from Germany?
Yeah.
Spoke to her for like an hour on the phone today. She also went to go see him speak in London at his like book reading.
At Oxford University.
Yeah.
Oh, dope. So yeah, then she must have read it because she got the book there.
Tell me if you see this. She said that I remind her of Bret Easton Ellis with like my mannerisms and like the way that I speak about LA. Do you see this at all?
Okay. Now, at first, no. Bret Easton Ellis grew up here around in Sherman Oaks,
yep.
And he went to like the Buckley School. I listened to his audiobook. He has that like that LA kind of like surfer voice. Like,
okay, maybe not so the voice. Hard.
Like, it's interesting because I don't think Todd has that like accent, and Scott doesn't have that accent. But Bret Easton Ellis, I'll play you a little bit of it. Should I?
Sure. But forget the
speaking voice. But the way you go like, oh yeah, there's a really great restaurant over there down in this area, and like,
I don't know if it's the voice.
You love vibes kind of a thing, and I bet for a girl who's from Germany, I bet the way you choose to talk about, oh, like great restaurants, you got to try this dish or this drink, I think can get a little. All right, hopefully he's not talking about anything too embarrassing.
I'm loving the yeah.
After the horror of 1981, the numbness I had found exhilarating during my sophomore and junior and into my senior years hardened ultimately into a remote.
Yeah, he sounds like an old ex-surfer, dude.
Decades to finally thaw. I was never really the same after 1981. There was never a recovery period.
Is this him reading his new book?
Now... Yeah.
Is it an autobiography or it's like a fiction book?
It's auto. He is writing himself as Bret Easton Ellis, him when he was in high school. But I think it's like there is
semi-fictional.
Like, semi-fictional. Like he mentions him writing Less Than Zero. And
I love the Delco, that the Delco accent is making a. I don't know. Maybe you're not seeing this on TikTok.
Delco.
It's the accent that like Bam Margera and like South Jersey people have.
God, like Westchester, like
yeah. You want to get home on the phone or like no, dude. I don't know if what are you guys doing over there?
Oh, that's almost sounds like Pittsburgh.
Yeah. It's like
we're gonna go down over to the homeowners association.
Yes.
Kate Winslet nailed that accent in Mare of Easttown. Have you seen that?
No.
It's set, I'm pretty sure, in like Philadelphia or Allentown.
Yeah, you're doing a little bit of a southern accent. I think it's
it's
okay. It's tough for you to nail it because
I thought Bam Margera is in like Westchester, New York.
I think it's where he ended up moving to when he got famous, but he's got that Jersey.
I can't do it. But he also Bam Margera sounds like he has like M&M's tucked or like peanuts tucked into his like bottom lip.
Freaking Novak, dude.
I can't do it. Dom it's Vito. Okay. We got Dom Vito here, and like
I feel like you could practice this one.
The thing is, like, I like Bam Margera, but I did not like it. My dad did not like Bam Margera.
Oh, like when you were watching the Viva La Bam growing up?
Dude, he was like, turn this off. My dad thought he was a terrible influence.
Yeah, he's not a great influence for kids. He's like smacking his dad and shit. Like,
there was like a thing where they were doing some pranks over at like a retirement home, and there were a bunch of old people, and the Bam Margera was like, what's the big deal? They're already going to die soon anyway. And my dad was like, turn this off.
Your dad was right. He's not a good influence. But I used to like think he was the cool. Obviously, everyone thinks he's so cool. But when you're a kid, now it's just a little sad.
Oh, now it's completely sad that he's had all that beef with like Steve-O. And like even Steve-O brought – he wasn't part of Jackass Forever.
Yep.
They kicked him off because of his addiction. Steve-O then brought him on tour. And then he again fell back into his addiction.
I remember in high school, there was a documentary that Steve-O made when he was still on drugs. And it was called How PCP Saved My Life. And it's just a video. It's like a YouTube video because it's just filmed in the Jackass style of just Steve-O being on PCP for 48 hours straight.
How it saved his life?
It's the joke. It's a fucked up title. And I remember watching this, like, this guy is going to fucking die, when I was like 16 or whenever it came out.
What was the... was there a moment where Steve-O... like, did he put himself in danger? Or did someone in his life said, you have a problem, we need to get this fixed?
I'm sure he's talked about it. I don't know. But all those guys used to be like... I think they were like the first YouTubers. Like, they just took their own cameras. They filmed themselves doing funny things. And with that... probably came a lot of drugs and stuff, but he really cleaned up. But like, being, can you imagine being super famous from Jackass?
Yeah.
And like, as your side project, you just do PCP for a weekend and film it and just act like a fucking maniac, like jumping into shopping carts and like, and you put it out and call this a set, call it How PCP Saved My Life. And like, yeah, this is my new, can you imagine if I put out a video like how heroin makes my life great. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna do heroin for a weekend and upload it.
Have you seen that Whitest Kid sketch where it's like, hey, how have you been, man? Dude, it's been so long. He's like, what's that? He's like holding like a gallon like this. He goes, just a gallon of PCP. And the guy's like, a gallon of PCP? Yeah, just
it's insane.
Like, a gallon.
It's insane.
I was with have you met Steve-O?
No, I wish. I met him. He's been around with David a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. We were there that one time where he did the dry. David filled Elton's pool up with dry ice. And then Steve-O came over. And then he went onto the roof. And then jumped off the roof into the pool filled with dry ice. And the thing is, I was like, fuck this. Because you couldn't even see the pool because there was so much.
It could have been concrete.
Dry ice. And I was like, even though Steve-O is a trained stuntman.
Yeah,
he is a professional.
He's the professional.
But I was like, I do not want to be associated with the reason why Steve-O dies.
You didn't feel safe. Like, it didn't feel safe. Even though you're like, this is Steve-O. It's not.
The thing is, he was like, yeah, bro, let's fucking do it right now. Like, whatever. I remember me, Carly, and Aaron, we went inside the house and like watched it from the living room through the window. I just didn't want to be like outside because I got such a bad vibe from it.
Yeah, I feel like you'd think that someone like that at this stage in his career would make the set feel like, this is going to be fine, guys. I know what I'm doing. I'm a professional. But he's still just
like, screw it.
Fucking nut job. Yeah, I would have liked to meet him, but I met David Blaine, which was great.
Oh, yeah. I met him too, Mike.
I know. I'm just saying.
I know. I'm just joking with you.
Are you excited for the weekend?
I am excited for the weekend. There is a bunch of stuff coming up. We have Remy's Miss Remy Cruz is having a birthday party. She's having a birthday party that's Vegas or gambling themed,
yeah.
Casino night on a boat, on a yacht. And that should be fun. But do you think there's going to be real gambling?
I don't know if that's legal.
But isn't it there like some maritime laws where if you're on the water...
I think it's like you have to be like 16 miles into open waters and then it's the implication.
Are you going to gamble?
Mm, No, but here's something interesting.
What?
When I went to the Poconos, however long ago it was, with all my friends, we went to like some shop to get some food and whatever. Just like you're not a brand name place, just like some mom and pop shop in the middle of nowhere. And they had a little vending machine for scratch off lottery tickets. So I spent like, I don't know, $30. I bought like 3 or 4 scratch offs, like a $10 one, a $5 one, whatever. And I scratched them all off and I was net positive on winning the lottery. So I basically spent like $15 and I won like $75.
Whoa.
Yeah, on my scratch offs.
How about that, Mike?
I was very excited. I was like, damn,
you should have done with the $75.
So I have to mail them in because I didn't cash them in at the time. You have to like either go into the place or mail them in.
Which I've never done in my life. Every lottery ticket I've ever won, I've never got
cash the prize. Money.
I'm always like, woo, $5.
Yeah.
And then fuck it. Like, I'm not.
Because you have to go in, you have to find the place, you have to park. It's a whole thing. And now I can't even use these because you have to be, I think, in the state to get them. I can't just go to a 7-Eleven here.
That is true.
And so I think I have to mail it in. But then this past weekend, I was driving home from Arizona. I had my 8-hour drive and I pulled over in some Arizona gas station, Circle K, whatever. And I was like, let me try my luck here again. Spent about $20, got 2 different lottery tickets, like a $10 one
lottery
and a $10 one.
Scratch off.
They're lotteries, though. It's like in the lottery machine. Scratch off. That's the lottery. Anyway,
is it?
Long story short, I scratched them both off, won $40.
Wow.
I have never lost the lottery. Isn't that fucking crazy?
A scratch off.
It's the lottery.
I don't think a scratch off is a lottery. I think
it's run by the state lottery. That's what a scratch-off is. You're gambling
your money. Yes, the California lottery. But
what do you think a lottery is like when you pick the numbers?
Yes.
I guess.
But I guess, though, you're technically scratching off what is your lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird gimmick. How we're like, let's give them the lottery, the winning ticket, but they got to like scratch it off. Like sometimes I feel like such a monkey when I'm getting scratch off tickets because you're like, oh, well, this one, just scratch the whole thing off.
I know.
There is no wrong thing. Oh, because you scratch that part off, you can't get it. It's never like that.
No.
You should just scratch it all off and see if you won.
The California lottery, you can just scan the back. You can scan the back with your phone. There's an app. You just scan it with your phone. And it will tell you if this ticket is a winner or not. You don't even need to scratch it. But that's the whole point, Matt.
What
is you go through the activity of... This is what Norm MacDonald says. He's like... He was a big gambler, and he was addicted to gambling. And he lost all of his money two times over. And someone was asking him, like, why do you do this? What is your obsession with gambling? You're addicted to it. And he said, listen, I'm not addicted to gambling. But what I am addicted to is that moment... When the roulette ball is rolling around the table and you don't know if it's going to land in black or red, that moment is hope. And hope is a wonderful thing to be addicted to. I know, it's a terrible question.
That sounds like a gambling addict trying to justify why they win it.
But that's the whole point of the scratch-off, is there's hope behind every back-and-forth motion on the scratch-off. It's like, is this it? Is this it? No. Okay. Ugh. Next one. That's you're paying.
Yeah. I guess there is a thing where, like, every time I buy a lottery ticket, I get like anxiety, or I get this like flutter inside where I'm like, oh my god, tomorrow my life is going to change.
That's what you're paying for. That's what I believe. When I buy a scratch off, I'm paying for the experience of.
Don't you feel like then we should always be buying lottery tickets? You and me. What if we make it like kind of a routine thing
to buy the lottery tickets?
Just a couple bucks a week. We always have cash in our car.
Yeah,
and
I know.
We just go in.
I've done it at Ralph's once or twice, and I think I've won the Ralph's ones. I haven't won.
Oh God!
What?
You sound like a nut. It's just funny. You have very hard, crisp ways about thinking about. Things and other like things, but now you're like, oh, well, the Ralph's one I haven't won. You sound like an old gambling lady, but there's nothing wrong with it. But like, you're talking about the locations, it's all the same. Like, you're not gonna.
No, when I'm on road trips or like away from home, I win.
Okay, and certain states don't have scratch offs and don't have lottery tickets? Like Alabama, they don't have it.
So like, you can't buy a scratch off?
No. It's like Patricia's dad. Every time we go to like another state, he's like, "Oh, we got to get scratch offs and lottery tickets." And
here's the thing: I don't actually think my life is going to change. If I win $100,000, that's like kind of sick and amazing, and obviously a great win. But what I'm actually doing this is I'm paying for the experience of like. The hope and the scratch. Like, that's if I lose, I don't feel cheated because I know that I'm paying the $5 to have that like 2 minutes of whatever.
Where has this mic been?
What do you mean?
Like, this is so funny. That you're, I just feel like if I said this a couple months ago, you'd be like, this is all like...
No, I've always
invest your money. Like, don't...
For $2 to have a 2 minute experience of like, whoa, this is exciting. And I was on a road trip for 8 hours. I stopped, pulled over. I'm in my car waiting for the car to charge. Give me 6 minutes of scratching through 2 scratch-offs and I'll pay $10 for that.
Where's... I'm always curious. So if you started maybe gambling, doing blackjack for $200.
No, that I would never do.
Come on, 200. Just to start,
you
200
can't
bucks.
Win against the casinos. The casinos are rigged for you to lose.
Buddy, I have gone on a cruise ship and paid for my entire cruise with my winnings of blackjack. Like, there's a degree. I'm not going to be going like full tilt trying to like get like
double
up to $10,000.
Yeah.
Try to like pay for the trip. That's when I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk away.
I'm too bad at math to know how
to do
it.
Would you be like, oh God, I'm up $100. That's it. Like, I'm curious, like, where's your walking
now,
away?
The last time I gambled, I didn't have, like, I, you know, it's probably like when I was 21 years old.
It's the worst when it burns up like that. And like, I was in New Orleans. The only place I'll ever gamble is Vegas. Because I feel like the house gives you a little bit better of a time. If you gamble right outside of L.A., the money goes so quickly. I played in New Orleans. $200 gone because their table minimums are really high.
I'm just so bad at math that like I would panic every time. Like 2 and 9. What is that? Is that a jack? Is that 21? Like
that
I
is a little hard. But the dealer will tell you what the house says to do. But if you go by the house rules,
over time you lose. You always lose over time with blackjack because they get to see both of their cards. You don't get to see both of their cards.
It kind of doesn't work
the
like
house
that.
Always has the advantage.
Live by the book, die by the book. Like, it's okay. So when I lose, but I played by the book, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair.
People who are like, hit, and they're like, you really shouldn't hit. The book says it, but you're like, do it. If you start playing like that, you're going to lose a lot of your money.
Yeah. I would probably watch like a good 40-minute YouTube video about like the basics of how to play before I gambled, but...
What about betting on the ponies?
No.
That horse racing to me is like
insane.
It does not make sense. I feel like it's like, oh, it's the odds. I got a horse right here. His name is Paul Revere.
Yeah, it's just another form of that hope from a scratch off.
Have you ever
magnified.
Gone to a horse race though?
No.
It is the saddest.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of degenerates.
And it's the worst when like people have like these birthday parties where like everybody dress nice, dress like it's the Kentucky Derby. We're going to the horse races. Yeah, you're gonna look like you're like fools. I don't know. Or you look just like really ridiculous going to a place like that. Because the people there at the horse races are like a bunch of blue collar folks who are just trying to like make a buck.
It's, yeah. And there's, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it.
But when you win at a horse race, it's like, hell yeah. There's nothing like that.
Yeah. I think the healthy way to think about these types of things, like the lottery gambling, is you're not spending this money to make money. You're spending money to have the experience of playing blackjack at a casino. And that's it. If you want to pay $200, you're paying $200 to go sit down and have $200 worth of money to play blackjack. If you win, great. But if not, that was the price of admission. So when I do a scratch off, I'll say, I will pay $5 to give me 3 minutes of scratching time. And I'm like, oh, does this number match up? And I'm playing a game.
Okay, well then it's like think about that. Think about that just on a little bit chunkier of a scale. Because when I go
it's
in...
It's like going to the carnival.
When I go to the casino, I tell myself I'm paying $300 right now for my time in Vegas to have a good time.
Okay.
That's my Disney World ticket.
Right.
Either I'm going to walk out of here with more than my ticket, or I do not... If once I lose $300, I'm not checking out anymore.
Yes.
But I'm already accepting that this $300 will be gone.
That's what I'm saying, is you're paying for the experience of doing it. You're not like, okay, I'm going to get $300 and I'm going to get another $100 out of this, so we're going to pay for dinner tonight. And then you're down at your $300, you're like, okay, I'll put another $100 and I'll win at least some of it back. And that's when you get into that fucking terrible cycle and you lose all your money.
Yeah. You know what I've been really wanting to happen to me lately?
What?
You ever hear like stories about like someone found this like a stone bust of like a head in a Goodwill for $5, and it ends up being a timeless piece of art.
Yeah,
finding a girl on TikTok the other day found a like Cartier purse that she found at Goodwill for $1
and
was watching
for,
the live
$7,000.
I want to like find, or did I tell you about what happened with the Herman Miller chairs?
No,
I didn't tell you this.
No.
So it was like my last day in Dallas over Christmas break. I'm driving around in my neighborhood. Kevin and I, we love getting in the car, going down memory lane.
Okay.
Just seeing how the neighborhood's changed.
Okay.
We drive by. Someone has a whole bunch of shit out in there. They're like on the street for just trash for pickup.
Yeah.
See a whole bunch of stacked chairs. And I'm like, those are kind of like vintage looking chairs. And I'm like, those are kind of dope. Some had like felt covers on it and they were like worn and torn. And then there were these bright yellow ones. I go, these are badass. These will look so cool. They're really dirty. Bring them back. Show my dad them. My dad's like, what are you bringing me junk for? I'm like, these look cool. I feel like they'd be like, because my dad loves old furniture and stuff. My dad, or I go upstairs or whatever. My dad's down in the garage working on them. And he hollers. He goes, Matt, come down here. He looks at the bottom. They're Herman Miller chairs. Authentic, real Herman Miller chairs. I got him two yellow ones. And then my dad like cleans them up.
On the side of the road?
On the side of the road.
Wow.
My dad looks them up. Each one is worth like $350.
Wow.
Each one.
Sick.
And I got them. Great find.
That's amazing.
When you find those like...
Yeah. That's... I mean... But I think if you go in like hoping for that, you're just... You're never going to win.
Well, you're never going to find them, I feel like, in LA. LA has too many...
Professionals.
Thrift... Hunters
yeah.
around all the time.
Professionals.
You have to go out to like the really random places to find the
like
good
in
stuff.
Philadelphia. That's when I go. Whenever I go out to my New York friends, we go antiquing. Just find some like old woman who owns a shop, and usually it's all stupid stuff. But that would be fun to like find a. This is the pen that George Washington signed the Declaration of Independence.
Have you ever found anything or received anything that you didn't realize how much value it had?
I don't think so.
You know what I got that one time? I can feel like I can say it now.
What?
Sonic 2 came out.
Yeah.
They sent me Sonic shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Fila Sonic shoes.
Yeah.
I was like, awesome. I love PR gifts. It's so cool. Love getting that stuff. Very grateful and privileged to be on PR list and receive stuff. It's pretty awesome. But I had these shoes and I was like, cool. Sometimes if I receive things in a PR package and I know that I'm not going to use this, sometimes I'll be like, hey, if this is worth something, I don't mind making a couple bucks.
Sure.
I like selling things. I look it up. These shoes were going for $660.
That's
these
insane.
Free shoes because of that Hypebeast market.
Yep.
Apparently, this was a very small batch of Sonic shoes. I ended up selling them. It went up. Yeah, $660
That's
I made off the shoes.
Sick. Wow.
Insane.
Where did you sell them? On StockX?
eBay.
Wow.
I bet I maybe could have made more on StockX. But
that's
eBay.
Fucking did you didn't even try them on.
People were getting mad or like I was like it was the first like hype thing that like I owned because like people were getting mad. I actually had to do two auctions on it because the price got too high and the person who was the highest bidder
bailed
and then I kept getting DMs of people going, this is way overpriced, and I'm like, I'm not setting the price. Yo,
wait, where were you getting DMs? On eBay?
On eBay. People were like, this is way too high. Please remove this post. Like the Like, I was part of this huge...
Wow. You set the trend for the Sonic shoes.
I sure did.
Have you checked in to see if they're, like, still available on
StockX? You
know what,
should we? Let's see how much... It's going to be, like, $4,000. I'm going to be, like, gulp. You know what I hate?
Gulp.
That's been my new catchphrase. Gulp.
Really?
Because I think when you do the... Like, no one can hear it.
Yeah.
So it's just funny of going, gulp.
That's funny to, like, text someone, too. Gulp. Oh, you know what someone's been doing to me that's pretty funny?
What?
Is, I don't know if this is going to translate, but like when she'll send me a text that's funny, but like I don't see it for a second. Are you listening to me?
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. I just don't want to repeat it because this is an audio podcast. Let me know. Let's stick to StockX. What do you got? Let me see.
For the... $410.
All right, so you sold...
Damn! It was damn. Some sold for $140. I made a profit.
You did great. You, What's the word I'm looking for? You sold at the top of the market.
Fuck yeah.
Good job. This girl will send me a text, and if I don't answer it, and it's like a funny text, she will just put the ha-ha on her own text. It's kind of a funny move.
Oh! So, like to remind, rather than like emphasize it, or like someone never got around to it?
Yes. Or like, or you're just laughing at your own joke. Like if I, you know, if you're just like, God damn it, Mike, I can't believe you. Or like, whatever, you say something funny, and I don't respond for whatever reason, you just like 20 minutes later just go haha on your own text.
That's a nice move.
It's pretty funny.
Ooh, I might need to steal that.
I feel like that would be a Matt King thing to do. Like you text someone, they don't answer, you just go haha.
Sometimes I don't feel like I'm that good of a texter. Not texting in terms of being like on, like sometimes people write are just brilliant texters. Like Connor Wood, Fibula. It's just like he's he has like this way of
what makes him good at texting.
It's just funny.
Oh, he's funny.
It's just you. Sometimes, dude. Sometimes I'm like, we're just exchanging yes or no's for just anybody. I'm like, haha, amazing.
You cool. Really? Yeah, you're not really a big texter.
Or I'm just not trying to like write a bit.
Yeah, and you don't want to be in a conversation. It's very transactional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But he'll be. I don't know. It's just I like love the right
his,
emoji.
He's one of the funniest. His Instagram thing that he posted about. Oh, yeah. Matt dropped the microphone. Yeah.
Sorry.
And we're back. What were we talking about?
Gambling. Was it?
No.
Texting.
Oh, yeah. Connor. Connor's so funny.
He's brilliant. Like, he's just a bit of like a poet, the way sometimes he writes stuff. And I'm just like, ugh. But then again, maybe. I don't know.
Where he said, I'm breaking my NDA right now, and a lot of people are asking why I'm not at Fashion Week. I'm supposed to be an underground Maxianista. And he's like, for the big collab with Slim Jim and like YSL or something.
TJ Maxx.
Yeah.
He and just like, Flo Rida was like performing.
He just went on a whole. Yeah, I was crying laughing at it. It's so funny. You want to go get some home state?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll, no,
did you say it again?
No, you can wrap it up.
Well, this was fun, Mike.
Yeah, these are easy.
I wish you guys could see how terrible Mike's eye looks.
Maybe I'll post it on my Instagram.
No, I could use it as like a Snapchat, some Snapchat bait, you know?
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We also have tons of episodes out on our YouTube channel. Visual ones that you can actually watch. Also, what else do we want to plug? That's follow all. Me on Instagram, at me on Snapchat. Going to be posting a lot of content on there. Love you guys.